Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around a while. We'll have some sound from Henry Paulson himself from CBS and NBC over the weekend. Pretty weird stuff. Have you got it all figured out yet? have you got it all figured? No, you haven't? Oh my God. Well, okay. I think the bottom line is it's a bunch of BS. It's a scam that Paulson is running. This is the Bush crime family. Remember who Paulson works for. Remember the track record of the Bush crime family. Have they been right on anything? 2-1, time's up. That's right. The answer is no. Take a look at Republican policies over the past 25 years. Have they been right on anything? 3-2-1, time's up. No. So all of a sudden, we are to believe Henry Paulson, a guy who helped engineer the crisis to begin with. And got paid handsomely for doing just that. I'm kind of wondering if the Congress, the House and the Senate, are going to be steamrolled into doing this. There seems to be some resistance from Republicans as well as Democrats. Thank God it's coming from Republicans, too, because if the Democrats in the House and the Senate were against this, they would collapse with the least amount of pressure from the Republican leadership. As soon as the Republicans decided that it was time to cross the aisle and beat the hell out of the Democrats, they would do some, the Democrats would just fold. Say, oh, don't beat me anymore. Okay, where do we sign? So it's a good thing the Republicans are against this idea, too. Now, I don't know what the Republicans want. I don't know what they're objecting to. I have no idea. They seem to be objecting to the same thing that the Democrats are objecting to. It's a scam. But it's the Republican Party that has engineered these scams over the past 25 years. So how can the Republicans be objecting? You see what I mean? This doesn't pass the smell test. I don't expect leadership from the Democrats in the House or the Senate. I expect what they usually give, a whining, tantrum-throwing, a little bit of resistance. When an idea is floated, whether it's a Supreme Court justice or a war or an invasion or denying S-CHIP funds for children or this, you know, this massive $1 trillion-plus bailout of Wall Street. They're saying $700 billion. Oh, forget that number. What did they tell us the Iraq war would cost? $30 billion? What's it cost so far? $300 billion? No. There's no such thing as $700 billion bailout the way this thing is metastasizing. And we'll try to get through this tonight. I don't know if I'm capable, but I'll do the best I can with the tools at hand here. You know, I hate being faced with these kinds of crises in this country. You know why? Because it means that all of a sudden I and you have got to go into that area that we've never wanted to go into. Finance. Economics. And try to figure it out. Because our very existence, our very existence depends on understanding this. My initial reaction, and the reaction that I've developed over the weekend that's not so initial now, is total, complete resistance to this idea of a bailout. Total, complete resistance. Let the whole goddamn thing collapse. Now, if that sounds harsh and cruel and so on and so forth, why is it harsh and cruel? There's nothing in these proposals that's going to do a damn thing for, as Bush calls us, the consumers. There's nothing in here. Now, the theory is if they don't save the big boys, then all of us down here on Main Street, and I hate this, well, it's Wall Street and Main Street. Oh yeah, is that the delineation? There's Wall Street over there, so let's save Wall Street. But there's Main Street down here. To hell with Main Street. The theory being that if Wall Street's saved, something will trickle. Wait a second. We've heard this before. We've heard this before. We've heard all of this before. These people have destroyed the system. They've killed the goose that laid golden eggs for them. There were no golden eggs for you and me. What the hell have you gotten? Seriously, if you're not a hedge fund operator, if you're not one of these money manipulators, these smart-ass 20- and 30-year-olds who infest these so-called investment houses in New York, if you're not one of them, what have you gotten? What have you benefited? How have you benefited in the past, pick a number, 10, 15, 20, 25 years? How have you benefited? How's your small business going? How's your retirement plan going? How's your nest egg? How's your, just down the list. The Republicans have destroyed it all. And they'll continue to destroy it. So we're supposed to give Henry Paulson the kind of power that Midas had. Everything Paulson's going to touch will turn to gold. What? Get out of here. Get out of town. Are you out of your mind? I especially like the part in the proposed legislation, the proposal from the financiers, from the people that got us into this, from the crud, from the financial turds, from the real floaters, from the bastards who have, excuse me, who have been ripping off not just us, not just investment houses, not just foreign investors. They've been ripping off everything. They've taken everything they could get their hands on and then conned overseas fools into investing in trash. What did Paul Krugman call it today? Cash for trash. But here's the part I like that's in the bill that Paulson is proposing that Congress do right now. Here, I like this the sentence. Decisions by the Secretary, that would be the Secretary of the Treasury, pursuant to the authority of this act, are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency. End quote. Son of a bitch! This guy has balls the size of Mount Everest. What? You're just going to declare yourself king? Any decision you make is not reviewable by anybody, anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances? You, Henry Paulson, get to make the decisions? Oh, where do we sign on that one? God, I can't wait. That's beautiful, Henry. Way to go. Ah! Hunter, writing at Daily Kos, says Paulson probably went into a room with some investment bankers over the weekend. All right? Okay, he says. What do we have to do to solve this economic crisis? The bankers respond, could you give us all free money? Paulson says, sounds good to me. Problem solved. Investment bankers, oh, and make sure there's no oversight. If there's oversight, the economy will be screwed. So load up the trains and boats and planes full of money, back it all up to the doors of these corrupt, filthy, stinking, they ought to be fumigated investment houses in D.C., in New York, and wherever else they've metastasized to, back up all these truckloads of money, hit the lever, dump it all through the front door, the windows, onto the patio. Let these greedy, wormy son of a bitches come running out and scoop up everything they can scoop up. Make sure Phil Graham gets some. And let's not stop with the American banks. Let's not stop with the American investment companies. Let's give the money to investment firms and banks overseas. They're all interrelated. This is neoliberalism. This is what has destroyed the financial system, the global financial system, this and the greed bastards who, I said it Friday, I'll say it again, they ought to be tried, convicted, and hanged. This is unbelievable stuff. So now it's not just the default swap garbage pile being bailed out, the credit default swap garbage. It's any securities, whatever any bank feels they need to get rid of. Here. Pay me, give me money, everything, anything. And Paulson's sitting there going, yeah, well, okay, and no oversight, and nobody can challenge me, and nobody can take it to court, and nobody can do anything. My authority is absolute. Oh, kiss my ass, Paulson. Hey, buddy, I'm wanting you to turn it on. Oh, he's a god, he's a god, he's
he's a man, he's a guru. Your one microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his red right hand.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malone.
21 past the hour. So again, Hunter at Daily Coast pretty much sums it up. He wants to know why, or he or she, why there aren't other approaches being considered. Why just Henry Paulson's approach? And I agree. You know what happened here? All of a sudden, all of us. And when you have everybody saying this is a bad idea. I open up New York Times today, op-ed page, and Paul Krugman and Bill Kristol agree that it's a bad idea. What? How could that be? Kristol is a neocon thug. Krugman is an economist. How can they both agree? But they both agree. They both think it's a bad idea. So why is the big push on to get this done now? Now, now. Do it now. Now, now. No, 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 now. No oversight, no way to undo it, anything, once it's done. Get it done now. Get it done. What's going on? What's going on? The Paulson plan, as Hunter writes, is considered the go-to plan. And I have the same question. Why? When you consider that we're dealing with the same Bush crime family that got us involved in Iraq based on monumental lies, trying to get us involved in Iran based on monumental lies, could not handle the collapse of New Orleans, did a very piss-poor job where it concerned the hurricane that hit Houston. I mean, on and on and on. They brought us the SNL crisis. Their ideologies, wasn't it Bush 1 that brought us the SNL crisis? And now this. The Enron debacle, 8 years of miserable economic failure. Who's won? Who has made any money? Who is more secure today than last year, 2 years ago, four, six, eight? Who? You? No, I don't think so. Me? Oh, Jesus Christ, are you kidding? No. Who then? The nest of vipers that spit out Henry Paulson, they're doing just great. What did Henry Paulson make when he worked at Goldman Sachs the last year? $38 million? For doing what? So here we are. All of a sudden, it's rush, rush, hurry up. No discussion. No, no, sign, sign, sign. Why? Naomi Klein was on HBO. I missed it. Friday night interview, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. And I think Andrew Sullivan, who tries to redeem himself every time he turns around from being a right-wing little pissant that he's been for the past 10 years. Again, never will I be able to understand a gay man, as out as Andrew Sullivan is, being a supporter of anything Republican, anything conservative. Andrew, they want to cut your throat and other parts of your anatomy, too. So he tries, I made a big mistake. Well, you're making a big mistake on this one, too, Andrew, but you're doing it on, HBO with Naomi Klein, who has forgotten more about economics than you'll ever know. But on this interview Friday night, Naomi Klein said Bush's $700 billion proposal to rescue the financial sector stems from a profiteering streak that has dominated the last 8 years. She said, quote, "The disaster is far from over. The disaster was on Wall Street, but now they've moved the disaster to Main Street." And referring to the bailout, Naomi Klein said, quote, the bomb has yet to detonate. And that the real crisis is going to strike when taxpayers, you know, us, are overwhelmed when faced with the debt from the bailouts. Well, yeah, where's this 700, it's not 700 billion, where's this 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 trillion going to come from? Where's it going to come from? You got any idea, Truth Seeker? Huh? Now, according to Klein, the bomb will detonate if John McCain becomes president and decides it's necessary to privatize government programs like Social Security and health care, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, because neither the government nor Americans can afford them. Naomi Klein said, quote, the real disaster is yet to come. The real disaster is the debt that is going to explode on American taxpayers. Well, that's not very encouraging. That certainly isn't happy talk. You know who Naomi Klein is, the author of The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism, that outlines how crises, whether they're real, like the Katrina horror, or perceived, like Saddam Hussein has the nuclear weapons, have been used by the Bush crime family to screw over us because we're too busy trying to survive to understand any of this, and we accept all these changes that deny our rights. It changes our government. It consolidates power, things that we ordinarily wouldn't accept. But that's what disaster capitalism is all about. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
All my trouble seems so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, there's a shadow hanging over me. I'm not half the man I used to be. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why is she?
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. It's really difficult not to get depressed these days, don't you think? Anyway, back to Naomi Klein and Andrew Sullivan and Bill Maher last Friday night on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. Klein, who is the author of The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism, says the real disaster it hasn't occurred yet. It's still on its way. And that's the debt that's going to explode on American taxpayers. And that, you know, I don't know how to respond to that. I really don't. I think everybody in this country right now who gets a wage like we do, like maybe you do, you know, I'm talking about a wage, not investment capital, not contractual money like the pig man and people, but I mean an actual wage. Nothing that's already been placed in escrow so that there's no chance you won't get your money. I mean, you know, where you get a check every 2 weeks like we do. How can we not be worried, scared, freaked out? I don't know. I really don't. I've said this lots of times. I've never seen the kind of abuse that has been heaped on this society. What the hell did we ever do to deserve this? Seriously. Now, come on. I just want to play with this idea for a minute. Okay, so we're predatory sons of bitches. We go around the world destabilizing governments, murdering people, leaders, slaughtering millions, depending on where we're targeted, you know. So is this karma? Is this what happens to every empire that is vicious, hateful, cruel, murderous like we have been for the past 110 years? Is this what happens? The quick answer seems to be yes, if you look at history. The quick answer seems to be yes. But I don't know. When I think, well, okay, what have we, the American people, done? You know, we go to the parades, we salute the flag, we say the Pledge of Allegiance, we get all teary-eyed when we hear America the Beautiful sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. What the hell have we done? I mean, I'll tell you what we've done. What we've done is allowed these right-wingers to do what they've done to us, starting with the end of the, there were little pop-ups here and there, Nixon, but starting with the Reagan era. So, you know, the invisible whip is still operative. There is no way to deny the laws of physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, yada, yada, yada. There's no way to deny that. I don't know, that I'm aware of. So I think about this stuff. When I'm out for my 4-mile walk, I think to myself, what? You know, what do we do? And then I think, oh, come on, Malloy, what do you mean, what do we do? We are predatory, we're vicious, we're ugly, mean, hateful. We destroy other countries just to control their banana production, much less their oil. And, you know, and then I think, wait a second, God damn it, I didn't do it. You know, I didn't do any of that. You know, whine. I didn't do any of that. What did I do? I didn't go down to Guatemala and overthrow a government in 53. What? I didn't do that. Yeah, I did. By allowing it to happen. Not in 53. Hell, I was a kid. But I'm talking about, you know, since. And I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do anymore. Are you? I really don't know. Andrew Sullivan, who was on with Klein on Real Time with Bill Maher, disagreed with Klein that a few companies were at fault when the real culprit behind the mortgage crisis has been the willingness of Americans to spend and borrow more than, in Sullivan's words, more than they could actually support. He said, to some extent, the American people are responsible for the crisis they're currently in. And Naomi Klein quickly answered, quote, the reason why this bubble was allowed to inflate is not because the American people demanded it. It was because it was spectacularly profitable for Wall Street. And therein lies the truth. You know, we've got a newer version working now, thanks to the right-wing pissants. We have a newer version of the welfare queen. Remember the Cadillac? A woman drove up to the grocery store in her Cadillac and got out with her food stamps. Remember that story from the Reagan years? Huh, right? That's why Reagan was going to come to town and the Republicans were going to come in and end that abuse, by God! Remember the wealth of the Cadillac welfare queen? Well, now we have the greedy homebuyer. The lying son of a bitch who walked into the mortgage company and said, I've been on the job for 25 years and I make 120 grand a year. When actually he's been unemployed for 18 months and only makes 40 grand a year when he works. Oh, him! It's his fault. Oh, stop. Stop it. Man. But what you're seeing is the rise of the new mythological cause of all this, the consumer who stepped way beyond his or her means to buy that McMansion. I'm not saying that didn't happen a little bit. Sure, of course it did. What percentage of this monumental, massive, systemic collapse, though, rests on the back of Joe Lyer, who said he made 140 grand a year when he actually made 35, how much rests on his back and how much rests on the back of these predatory, destructive, stinking, lying, abusing, deceiving financial institutions? I would say the ratio is 99.8% to the latter and about 0.2% to the former. Wouldn't you think? So here it is. All of a sudden, the crisis that cannot be overcome without, this is just like the Iraq War. You know, we're going to be, the smoking gun is going to be a nuclear cloud if we don't act now, right now. Give me the act now, so I can invade Iraq. Give it to me now. I need it now. Here we are again. Only this one, if you take out the death and butchery and rape and murder and slaughter and PTSD and the fact that we are going to have wounded people on both sides of this horror for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 generations. Take all that out. Throw it in the gutter, which is where events and circumstances that involve people winds up. And just look at the money. Just look at the money. This one is a monster. And Henry Paulson says, No, do it now, gotta have it now, do it now, right now, no delays, do it now. We got time, yeah, we got time for one of these, no? We don't have time for one of these. All right, well, we'll do some of the sound when we come back. Bob in Kentucky writes, Mike, the whole non-reviewable thing, that's the part where Paulson says, I'll be making all the decisions. Nobody can challenge, nobody can review, nobody can question, nobody can go to court, nobody can go to the legislature, nobody can go anywhere. Bob says this whole policy thing smacks of Cheney and Addington. To hell with the judiciary, to hell with Congress, to hell with checks and balances, give all the power to the executive branch, in this case Henry Paulson. Sure sounds like fascism to me, Bob in Kentucky says. Yeah, sure does. And Paula in Bayonne writes, Mike, I say we bring back the guillotine and go Marie Antoinette on their useless rich asses. Every 100 years or so, the few very wealthy, powerful people need to get their heads chopped to remind them that the peons don't like getting pissed on. I loathe these people with the fire of 1,000 suns. Paula in Bayonne. I hear you, Paula. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I hear you. And A.E. writes in, Mike, once again, we have been shown that there are two Americas. One has been asked to give $700 billion to the other. Hooray for the ownership society. The bankers aren't in crisis. The crisis is what they're trying to do to us. They haven't made any mistakes. The situation is just what they expected. After all, with the possibility of the war in Iraq sometime ending, they've had to find another income stream. J. Kenneth Galbraith in the Affluent Society, or James K. Galbraith in the Affluent Society, said our current situation was the logical outcome of putting the finances of the nation into the hands of economic technocrats whose actions have no risk to themselves and only reap benefits for themselves. Giving everything to the bankers and nothing to ordinary people will only lead to increased economic imbalance. I think goes beyond economic imbalance, A.E. I think it's going to lead to financial chaos. And maybe we just ought to let it happen. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't mean to be flip with that kind of a comment. I really don't. Because, you know, I don't want to see my child not be able to have a decent meal because I can't find work. But, what do we do? Huh? We're going to be taking calls a little bit later. Stay with me because I want to hear what you all got to say about this. I'm Mike Mullins. This is Nova M. It's about 10 before the hour. A couple emails here. We will have some sound for you coming back next hour from Henry Paulson on both Meet the Press and Face the Nation. You got to hear some of this garbage. This is from JY Design, who writes, remember the argument against impeachment? It'll cost too much, and we don't have enough time before the election? Really? And now they're talking about passing a $1 trillion bill in a matter of days? Well, yeah. MM writes, Dear Mike, the Democrats need to press the advantage here without owning the problem. First, regarding the bailout, first they need to insist on accepting the tendered resignation of every Bush appointee in the financial chain of command. That would be a good start. Second, they need to approve the appointment of a new Treasury Secretary. Then they need to name a panel that will oversee the bailout. They need to ensure the bailout is aimed at fixing the economy, not fixing a problem for fat cats. Personally, he writes, or she writes, I want Robert Kennedy Jr. on the panel, preferably as chair. Yeah. We have so much ground to cover on this tonight, and we still have 2 hours to do it. So got to slow down here and not try to squeeze everything in at once, because this is it's difficult enough for you and for me. I mean, it really is. There is not a simplistic explanation or solution to this. There really isn't. There may not be a solution at all. This may be what the right wing, what the neo-fascists have wanted and have worked very, very diligently to bring about since the defeat of the Barry Goldwater, the absolute ending of anything that even remotely resembled anything left over from the New Deal, from FDR, including the checks and balances in the financial system because of what happened in the 20s. With the stock market crash in 1929 and the Great Global Depression, since that time, the ultra wealthy, I mean the people who really do make the decisions that control damn near everybody's life on the planet, because we all need money unless we live in a society where barter is still used. There are a few of those left, I guess, but the rules that were put in to regulate the economy, to be a kind of a check and balance, that's kind of normal, right? The goal has been to destroy all those rules. Well, they've been destroyed. They're all gone now. And this is a result. This is not a surprise to anyone who, I don't know, just went back to high school civics or high school economics. This is not a surprise that this happened. What is surprising to me is that now National Socialism is taking over. That's fascism. That's Nazism. That's all. That's all it is. Yeah, come on. We just haven't figured out who the new Jew is going to be in this country. You know, we haven't decided yet who the death camps are going to be for this time. But it is National Socialism that we're looking at here. This is what the right-wingers have wanted. This is what, and God help us, if John McCain is elected or steals the election or somehow winds up with the presidency with that psychotic freak who is his running mate, then kiss it goodbye. Then seriously, yeah, you're goddamn right. Get your passport out and leave this rat's nest, because then it's over. Then we'll find out who the new Jew is, because McCain will waste no time in designating the new Jew, who will be destined for the ovens and the death camps. I'm sure Palin will help him out. The new Jew will probably be everybody who doesn't accept her brand of Christian fundamentalism. So, whew. I really do wonder what it's going to take. I guess it's going to take the same thing that it took in Germany. It's going to take the necessity of you or me going to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, say, or a pound of ground beef, and having to take a sack full of money. Because once this goes through, and I don't get this part either, but I think Krugman's talking about it, people, Naomi Klein's talking about it, a lot of people, not Naomi Klein, but economists are talking about this. Well, I guess she is one. the inflation that's going to result is going to make American money essentially worthless. As it stands right now, and for decades, the only thing that backs our money is the promise of the government to do what? To make it good, whatever that means. You can't trade it in for gold or silver or diamonds or oil. You can only trade it in for, well, I guess you can in a sense, but not from the government. You can go to the marketplace for that. But the government that says on every piece of money that it's, doesn't it? I guess it doesn't anymore, does it? And that's kind of the point. Once everybody realizes that this stuff is essentially worthless because we're not the industrial giant that we've been, we're not the manufacturing giant that we've been, we are not the global power that we've been. Once these debt holders, I mean the real debt holders, not you know, in hedge funds, but I'm talking about foreign governments. I wonder how the Saudis are going to come out on this and the Chinese. They certainly are holding a lot of bad paper. $700 billion is trust me on this, True Seekers. Trust me. Trust Uncle Mike. $700 billion is lunch money compared to what these rapacious bastards have done to us and the amount of money that's really owed. $700 billion? Oh, stop. That's like I don't know what, 10% down, 5% down? We'll be back after the break. Do stay with us if you can. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It is 6:30 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on Nova M Radio. We're talking about the financial meltdown that we're dealing with here in the States and the attempt by the Bush crime family to get you and me and our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to accept the burden that these filthy bastards have put upon us. The filthy bastards being the manipulators, the financial manipulators, the hedge fund operators, the investment banks, so-called. The people have done this, and that includes not just them, but every single Republican who has been in the House or the Senate and has voted for any piece of legislation having to do with this for the past 25 years. This is what they wanted. This is what they've gotten. And all this fakey, disaster. Oh, what are we going to do? It's another scam to take more money from us. This time, $1 trillion, $2 trillion, whatever. Henry Paulson will make the decision and nobody can challenge him. We'll have some sound about that in a second. All right. It's going to be a few minutes before we take some phone calls, but I do want to get Alan, who is calling in from Helsinki, Finland, here, has been holding on for half an hour. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the 30-year perfect storm is just about reached perfection.
It just about has.
It has. We've been played like a violin, completely.
Yeah, more like a, I would say more like a cello.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Because the sound from a cello is much more sad and kind of, you know, the cello is a more, it's an instrument that you can get much more emotion. Well, I guess not. Never mind. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, never mind. Yeah, today the dollar dropped almost 3 cents. It's the largest in history. And, you know, what you were saying about last Friday about national socialism, well, that seems calm now compared to what we may be looking at in 1 week from now.
That's very true.
And, you know, Ravi Batra was saying today, he came on Tom Hartman's program to clarify that it's not, this is just a stopgap measure until the election, which really goes back to saying why maybe we should just give it to McCain and let him twist in the wind, because Obama is just going to just walk in. I mean, the rug's already been pulled out from under him.
I believe. Well, you know, I've kind of changed my mind on that McCain thing.
Oh, I know you have. Yeah, I agree because, with you. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, a McCain presidency guarantees open revolution in this country and blood in the streets. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Because McCain, first of all, is insane. Secondly, would immediately continue the destruction, and I think at that point the American people would rise up. So a McCain presidency almost guarantees open warfare in this country, and that, as a matter of fact, I'm going to get to that a little bit later in the program tonight, because that ties in with the National Security Presidential Directive 51 that was passed, or not passed, it was signed, it was written and signed by Bush and U.S. troops, and there's a dedicated combat unit now in the United States that can be used for this under Northern Command. American troops can be called out in case of a financial emergency. So we're staring it in the face. I don't know how many Americans understand this, but we are staring tonight in the face of open warfare in this country that could very well happen with the election of John McCain and Sarah Palin, simply because McCain will push this thing right over the edge and dare anybody to disagree with him, and he will call out the troops. There's no question in my mind.
Well, that's what, well, even if Obama is elected, I mean, even though Obama would never call out the troops, who's to say that all hell isn't going to break loose anyway?
There is something to be said for a leader who can calm people down. I'm hoping that Barack Obama can do that. I think FDR did it. I'm trying to remember other presidents in our history who've been called upon to calm things down, to defuse things. The only one that comes to mind, I'm sure there are other examples, but the only one that comes to mind immediately is FDR. This country was on the verge of warfare then, the second revolution then, and he stopped it. I'm hoping that Barack Obama can be that way if the election is not stolen from him, and if that's assuming that people who tonight are supporting McCain understand that supporting McCain, they are supporting their own destruction. Not their own bad times, not their own difficult, but their own destruction, purely and simply. So we'll see. I don't think the American public is smart enough to realize that, the people that support McCain. But, you know, one can hope, right?
Yeah, one can hope. But, you know, Mike, we were told about what George Bush, how destructive he was. We were told every business he's ever run into the ground. Every business he's ever had, he's run it into the ground. And now he's even surpassed my expectations in running the United States into the ground.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, it's just, it's incredible. And, you know, you have the sound of urgency, but the public has got to get that urgency real quick. And I'm afraid it's not going to happen soon enough.
Yeah, there is that chance for sure. Alon, thanks a lot for checking in, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, take care. Yeah, just let me drop this in. Philip reminds me of this, the National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive, which is that NSPD 51, sometimes simply called Executive Directive 51. Signed into law by Bush on May 4th, 2007, is the presidential directive that specifies the procedures for continuity of the federal government in the event of a, quote, catastrophic emergency, end quote. Such an emergency is construed as, quote, any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption, severely affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or government functions, end quote. The unclassified portion of the directive, part of it's classified, was posted on the White House website May 9, 2007, without any further announcement or press briefing, although Assistant to Bush Gordon Jandro answered several questions on the matter when asked about it by members of the press in early June 2007. You can find this, go to Wikipedia, and look for National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive, or look for Presidential Directive 51. You'll get all the info you want. Philip writes, think about it, Mike. Why would the Republicans put up such a lame, dumbass candidate like McCain and Palin if they were not planning on a crisis to give them a reason to use Executive Directive 51? Now, the backup for this is the 3rd Infantry's 1st Brigade Combat Team. I wanted to bring this up last week. This was in the Army Times, September 8th. Actually, it was a couple of weeks ago. The 3rd Infantry Division's 1st Brigade Combat Team has spent 35 of the last 60 months in Iraq, patrolling in full battle rattle. You know what that means. Helping restore essential services and escorting supply convoys. Now they're training for the same mission, with a twist, at home. Beginning October 12th, for 12 months, the 1st Brigade Combat Team will be under the day-to-day control of U.S. Army North. That's the Army service component of Northern Command. Now, you remember Northern Command. That was created by Rumsfeld and Cheney and Tenet after 9/11. See, 9/11 has been the excuse for everything. It's an on-call federal response force for natural or man-made emergencies and disasters. The 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 3rd Infantry. Now, this is not the first time an active duty unit has been tapped to help here at home. When Katrina dumped hell in Mississippi and Louisiana, several active duty units were pulled from various posts and mobilized to those areas. But this new mission, you see, this is what makes it unique, is the first time an active unit has been given a dedicated assignment to NORTHCOM, Northern Command, to provide command and control for federal homeland defense efforts and coordinate defense support of civil authorities. Say goodbye to Posse Comitatus. That's dead now, too. Totally dead, which prohibits the use of the U.S. military for law enforcement. And then in the article that appeared in Army Times, this, it goes on and on. I think we posted this at our website last week, a couple of weeks ago. The 1st Brigade Combat Team, or let's call it the BCT, the 1st BCT soldiers will learn how to use the, we got a break? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me do the break. We'll come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
If I just had other priorities, like feeling more at ease, I'd say bomb them to hell, but I'd rather not be Kentucky Fried. Call me a chicken hawk. Proud to be a chicken hawk. Watch while I bring the mock. Receive to all the rock. I didn't want to walk, but
boom, boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk.
I knew that the farther we got away from September the 11th, the more likely it would be that I would continue to have to convince people. We live in a dangerous world, and we do.
21 past the hour. Now, you know, the only reason I'm throwing this stuff out, it was in Army Times and Directive 51 and so on and so forth, is because one of the instances that triggers Directive 51 is economic crisis or what have you. And Directive 51 literally gives Bush the power to call out the military to put down any sort of disorder or any anticipated disorder in this country by the use of combat troops, experienced combat troops. When you couple that ultimate power, absolute power, with the absolute power that Henry Paulson is demanding, if anybody has any doubt that you're staring fascism in the face, then go back to sleep and wake up when you're dead or wake up when you're, you know, when this is all over, one way or the other, 25, 30 years from now. But this is what fascism looks like. Most of us have accepted fascism as people strung up from lampposts and death camps and ovens and cattle cars hauling people. That is one of the results of fascism, by targeting and identifying the other and saying, let's go kill all of the other. But fascism as a government operation is what we're looking at right now. There's no debate here. There's no argument here. You know, forget it. If you want to argue, go argue with Limbaugh. go argue with Hannity. But there's no argument about this. There is none. This is the last click here for fascism. The president with the power to be a dictator and the Secretary of Treasury or the finance minister, which I'm sure they'll change. Secretary sounds so wimpy, doesn't it? Finance minister sounds so, Germanic. So the finance minister, Henry Paulson, with absolute power, the leader, George Bush, with absolute power. What do you call that? Democracy? Please. Back to this Army Times article. The first Brigade Combat Team, BCT, the first brigade's soldiers, also learn how to use. They've been in training for the past month. They're ready to be deployed this coming weekend, I believe. They will learn how to use, quote, the first ever non-lethal package that the Army has fielded, end quote. That's according to the commander of that unit, Colonel Roger Clotier. He's referring to crowd and traffic control equipment and non-lethal weapons designed to subdue unruly or dangerous individuals without killing them. It's difficult for American troops to kill American people. In theory, the People's Liberation Army in China always made it clear they would never fire on Chinese citizens until Tiananmen. So this starts out with non-lethal weapons here for the soldiers that are going to be used against American citizens. The colonel, Clotier, I don't think you pronounce it Clotier. Maybe you pronounce it Clotier. All right, Colonel Roger Clotier. I guess the anglicized Roger Clotier. He says it's a new package of non-lethal capabilities that we will be fielding. He says they've been using pieces of it in Iraq, but this is the first time that these modules were consolidated and this package fielded. And because of this mission we're undertaking, we were the first to get it. The mission they're undertaking, keep in mind what it is. It is control in this country. It is taking over a law enforcement in this country, only in a militarized way. Forget your SWAT teams and all those crazy people who is, as soon as some guy isolates himself in a house with a gun to his head and screams he wants his mommy, they send in the SWAT teams that look like something from, another dimension. Forget all that horse crap. We're talking about the real military here taking over.
Is this what Bush meant when he said he was going to start bringing home the troops?
Sounds like it. Anyway, according to Clotier, Colonel Clotier, the package includes equipment to stand up a hasty roadblock, spike strips for slowing, stopping, or controlling traffic, shields and batons, beanbag bullets. Clotier, who took command of this unit in July, said, quote, I can't think of a more noble mission than this one. We've been all over the world during this time of conflict, but now our mission is to take care of citizens at home. And depending on where an event occurred, you're going home to take care of your own hometown, your loved ones. And then Clotier says, while soldiers' combat training is applicable here, some nuances don't apply, whatever that means. He says, quote, if we go in to American cities, we're going in to help American citizens on American soil, to save lives, provide critical life support, help clear debris, restore normalcy, support whatever local agencies need us to do. So it's kind of a different role, Clotier said. He said, quote, I don't know what America's overall plan is. I just know that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there are soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that are standing by to come in and help if they're called. Clotier also said, it makes me feel good as an American to know that my country is dedicated a force to come in and help the people at home. Oh, my God.
Keep on rocking in the free world. keep on rocking.
We got a lot of problems, but I'm going to tell you something about this country. In my mind, there is no doubt that we won't solve these problems.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do these sound bites. Diane in Pittsburgh writes, Mike, I watched Mr. Paulson yesterday on Meet the Press and was struck by all the familiar phrases and talking points that were spewed and coughed up in our faces. For example, we have to act now, now, now. And my personal favorite, now's not the time to point fingers. We need to pull together and get this done. Oh, my God, it's happening all over again. Only this time, we're all going to feel it. I also watched as Naomi Klein pretty much spelled the whole thing out. Disaster capitalism again, before our own eyes. Diane from Pittsburgh. Tom Brokaw yesterday on Meet the Press, interviewing Paulson about the disaster that is the U.S. economy and about Paulson's Capitol Hill briefing in which he told Congress that we were on the brink of total economic collapse. Brokaw asks, now that government has bailed out all these big corporations, when new regulations will be put in place to prevent these kind of predatory lending practices that were unchecked during the Bush years. Brokaw said, once you get past the credit crisis, why not start now the process of creating the agency and simultaneously creating a new structure of regulation for Wall Street and develop new regulations that go into effect immediately?
Tom, that's not doable to do that immediately. But we very much need new regulations, new policies.
Yeah.
What is going on here is terrible, it's unexcusable,
and
we need to deal with it. But that is going to take some time to figure that out and do it carefully and well. Some time ago, months ago, I submitted a regulatory blueprint because we have a patchwork regulatory system that's outdated, outmoded, it's not a credit to our country, and it doesn't match the financial world we're dealing with today. But we can't deal with that in a week. And we need this legislation in a week because we have a problem in our capital markets that's urgent to deal with, and we can deal with it when we get the legislation from Congress.
So let me ask you something. Is anybody out there, I'm not talking about the religious Christian freaks who are gnawing on their own feet hoping for the rapture, but does anybody with a mind out there think that McCain and Palin have the ability or the desire to do anything to stop this out-of-control financial madness? McCain of the Keating Five. Palin, who couldn't find her ass with both hands. I sold it on eBay. No, honey, you put it on eBay. Brokaw then asked Paulson about the criticism over all the government bailouts. Brokaw says, as you know, Mr. Secretary, a number of people have been critical of your ad hoc approach to all of this. Senator Shelby of Alabama, Republican, said a brush fryer approach is involved in it all. You let Lehman fail, but you got heavily invested in AIG, which is a large, complex insurance company. You bought 79.9% of it for $85 billion. Hank Greenberg, the man who really built AIG into what it is today, says that he and other major shareholders could save the company for $20 billion if they were given the opportunity.
A lot of people are saying a lot of things, Tom, and a lot of people want to rewrite history.
Yeah, like you.
We've had some tough situations to deal with, and let me take them one at a time.
Okay.
There were no buyers for Lehman Brothers. It was a very sad situation to see a venerable firm like that go down, employees lose jobs. Again, it was a tough situation. It would have been, in my judgment, unthinkable to have AIG declare bankruptcy. And you know, Tom, they were a few hours away from declaring bankruptcy. And what the government did was come in a senior position, senior to the senior debt, well ahead of the shareholders, with, as you said, an $85 billion funding facility to allow the government to liquidate this company in a way in which it didn't, we avoided a real catastrophe in our financial markets. But again, we did this to protect the taxpayer.
Oh, yeah.
And this was, and it's something we're going to need to deal with in the future in terms of a regulatory system.
Yeah, to protect the taxpayer. Hi, I'm from the government, here to help you. Brokaw laid out the details of the biggest government buyout of any economy ever. Brokaw said, this is the biggest financial play in the history of any economy, any time in the world. You're talking about a $500 billion to $1 trillion bailout of mortgages and mortgage-backed securities. There's no assurance that we'll get anything back from the banks for doing that for them. The taxpayers won't be protected. The details are still to be filled in. If you were in your old job as chairman of Goldman Sachs and you took this deal to the partners, they'd send you out of the room and say, come back when you've got a lot more answers, wouldn't they?
Tom, I don't look at it that way. This is not something that we wanted to do. This is something that is very necessary.
Mm-hmm.
We've had excesses building up for some time in this country. They played out first in terms of bad lending practices.
That's a lie.
Irresponsible borrowing.
That's a lie.
Irresponsible lending. Then moved a chain reaction into the financial institutions, illiquid assets. That then is played out into the broader economy. Last week, there were times when the capital markets, the credit markets were frozen. American companies weren't able to raise financing. That has very serious consequences. So what we need to do right now is stabilize the markets, and this is for the benefit of the taxpayers. We're doing this to the American public.
Oh, really? For the benefit of the taxpayers? Oh, well, thank goodness. You're a goddamn liar, and you know you are. Paulson repeatedly said, as he made the rounds, he was on, I think, three or four programs on Sunday, repeatedly said that the financial problems were long in the making. Well, if that's true, he should know. He was part of the gold rush that brought the global financial system to the brink of collapse. So says Kevin Hall, writing at McClatchy Newspapers. Paulson presided over one of the most profitable runs on Wall Street as chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs from 1999 until May 30, 2006, when Bush nominated him to take over the Treasury Department. Paulson, I don't know how do you trust a Wall Street veteran with the Wall Street bailout? How do you do that? Paulson is going to protect the people that he's closest to. Paulson, you know, Paulson made $38 million his last year as the head of Goldman Sachs. What's he going to do now? Spank Goldman Sachs' ass? You know this is not going to happen. You know this. Let's go back to Paulson, some more of his. Now we move over to Face the Nation with Bob Schieffer. Paulson chats with Bob Schieffer, who asked this. Let me just summarize. This is Schieffer. Let me just summarize. I understand that you have proposed to Congress. You want the Treasury to have the authority to bind these bad mortgages in these other financial instruments from financial houses, from banks. This doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to figure out what the hell, Schieffer. You know, when somebody talks on television and you try to print it, it just looks like hell. You're saying that this may now cost as much as $700 billion, which I believe is probably more than we've spent on the Iraq War. It's an unprecedented move, Schieffer said. What did you see in the situation that caused you to conclude that you would have to take this radical and very expensive step?
The taxpayer is clearly at risk, but this puts the taxpayer was already at risk for what was going on, and this, I think, will minimize the risk and the cost to the taxpayer. Now, what did I see going on? Last week, you watched the equity markets, the stock markets, which most people see, drop by 1,000 points, then rally by 1,000 points on the news of this program. But underneath the surface, credit markets, capital markets were freezing up. And when the capital markets freeze up, then mainstream American companies have trouble raising money to do their job. Farmers will have trouble getting loans. Small business people will have trouble getting loans. This would then hurt the broader economy. More difficult to get jobs. People's budgets, family budgets at risk, retirement savings at risk. So this was a situation that we couldn't allow to go on.
What you sound like you're saying is that the whole system was on the verge of collapse.
I didn't say that. What I said was that the system was clogging up and it was more difficult for companies to raise financing, and that would have been a worse, much worse for the American public, and that was a greater risk.
Oh, Jesus, God. And this guy was the CEO of Goldman Sachs, this inarticulate son of a bitch who is nothing but a highwayman, a bandit, a robber baron that would make the robber barons of the last century, the century before the last one, look like pikers. The taxpayer, he lists all this stuff, equity markets, credit markets, capital markets, everything freezing up, bankers, farmers, family budgets. Well, you rotten son of a bitch, you were one of the people that engineered this. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to sit here, aren't we? The Democrats in Congress and the American people, and we're just going to say, well, guess there's nothing we can do about it.
I have an idea. Let's let McCain, one of the architects of the SNL scandal, solve it. There's a plan.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Going to have some challenges.
If you're paying taxes, you're going to have tax relief. The government ought not to pay favors. It seems to make a fair way to me to make policy.
10 before the hour. All right, back to Henry Paulson on Face the Nation with Bob Schieffer. Schieffer asked you about the monumental burden and risk this buyout is going to put on the public. Schieffer says this is going to send the deficit into uncharted territory, it seems to me. Is there a chance that the next president is going to have to raise taxes to find the money to run the government? That's what Schieffer says. You got to appreciate Schieffer's hesitancy, right? Is there a chance that the next president is going to have to raise taxes to find the money to run the government?
The next president is going to have some challenges, and as we have challenges today.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because what we're going through is an unprecedented period of time.
The question.
There's no doubt that debt issuance by the United States of America is going to go up.
Question.
And I'm not minimizing this. I'm not minimizing it all. But I want to continually emphasize, because sometimes people get confused. This is different than spending money you know you're never going to get back. This is buying assets, holding assets, and then selling assets. And although I can't tell people now what the cost of that process will be, and there is a risk.
What? This is not spending money. This is buying assets. Wait a second. The assets are not really assets, Paulson, you bastard. They're essentially worthless. If they had any worth, you bastard, the government wouldn't have to step in and buy them. What the hell are you talking about? Oh, that's right. The American people get confused sometimes, you bastard. What do you mean they're assets? They're huge chunks of unsecured debt that have zero value. You are going in with a bailout, you bastard. Oh, but we're confused. We're confused. He says this is different from spending money. You know, you're never going to get back. This is buying assets, holding assets, and then selling assets. What are they, bastard? What are the assets, you lying thug? And I can't tell people about what the cost of the process will be, and there is a risk. Oh, really? So you're taking a gamble, bastard, with trillions of taxpayer dollars, and you're rolling the dice, and you're telling us that there may be buyers for all this crap the government is purchasing. Paul Krugman calls it cash for trash, you bastard, and you call it assets. So, a trillion plus for the, quote, government, end quote, to buy crap. And you're telling us, oh, well, they can sell it later. I know, you can get Sarah Palin to put it all on eBay. Will that work, bastard? Finally, Schieffer asked about the insane amount of money that Paulson is asking taxpayers to pony up. Schieffer said, you said last week that you thought this would cost $500 billion, and now it's up to $700 billion, or that you, or that could be how much you wanted the authority to buy. Now you're saying $700 billion.
I never said anything about $500. When I talked to Congress, I talked to...
Well, that was the number that was going around.
It might have been reported.
Well, yeah.
But when I talked to the congressional leaders,
yeah,
I said we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars that is needed.
Here it comes.
And we will ask for authorities up to a limit. And if that limit is $700 billion, that doesn't mean we'll go all the way there, or it doesn't mean that it will stop there and we won't ask for more.
See?
But that is, what we need is something that is big enough to get the job done. And so we'll ask for what we think is a right amount to give us plenty of flexibility to get the job done. And remember, the job is buying these illiquid assets to unclog the system and let the credit markets work the way they need to.
Is that what the job is? Now, with the little bit that we gave you tonight, four or five sound bites on two different programs, would you trust this son of a bitch to go to the grocery store if you gave him a list and he'd bring back the right change? I wouldn't. Well, I never said $500 billion. I don't know where $700 billion came from. It's going to be whatever it's going to be. Did you catch that part? Did you catch that part, Truth Seeker? Now, all I see batted about is the figure $700 billion. Who came up with $700 billion? He says, we will ask the authority up to a limit. And if that limit is $700 billion, that doesn't mean we'll go all the way there. And it doesn't mean that it will stop there. Well, if it's a limit, bastard, then aren't you supposed to stop at the limit, you lying bastard? See, a little bit of truth leaks out in this interview with Bob Schieffer. And he goes on to say, so we'll ask for what we think is the right amount. And he says, remember, the job is freeing these illiquid assets to unclog the system. You bastard, what are you, a plumber? Are you in here to get the dreck out of the toilet that's all stopped up? No, you're not. You're in here to bail out the other bastards on Wall Street. That's what you're there for. And you're here to bankrupt the system. And you're here to end the New Deal. And you're here to destroy everything, you bastard. 7 past the hour. Welcome back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. You know, the truth is, and I don't know how to put it except bluntly, you've heard the term creative destruction. I don't know who comes up with these kinds of terms. I don't know if that's a right-wing term, left-wing term, a nonsense term. But the financial institutions in this country, Wall Street, that's the euphemism we all use, has become so corrupt, so vile, so filthy, so putrid. It has resulted in this monstrous differential between working people and people that push numbers around and manipulate markets, both domestic and foreign. And I honestly believe in my heart of hearts, well, I don't wish any bad things to happen to most of us out here who have to struggle with day-to-day stuff. You know, making a mortgage payment or getting a kid in school, whether it's a kid going to preschool or a kid in college, it doesn't really matter. It's all like, you know, it takes money for all this stuff. So I don't wish any interruption in whatever cash flow people still have. But I honestly believe that the whole thing should just be burned to the ground, all of it. It is so corrupt. I'm talking about the financial structures that are not there any longer to further this economy. They're there for gamblers, people who play games. People are no more interested in whether or not this country survives. They don't recognize nations. They recognize simply the flow, the global unrestricted flow of capital. When you combine that perverted, sick so-called neoliberalism with the so-called neoconservatism of fascist attitudes toward the rest of the world, it's a recipe for absolute disaster, and that's where we are. And I really do, that it needs to be destroyed. This trillions that Paulson's talking about, don't let the 700 billion number fool you. For Christ's sake, don't. I mean, come on. Remember, the Iraq war was going to cost 30 billion. It's cost 10 times that so far that we know about. Probably another 10 times that amount that we don't know about. So don't buy into the 700 billion figure. Please don't. You heard what Paulson said in his own words. He says he never said 500 billion. That whatever the number is, the number would be. And if he wants more, he'll get more. You heard that. You heard that with your own ears if you were listening to the last segment. So don't buy the BS, okay? This is an unending revenue stream for thieves. This is the ultimate payoff to the predatory capitalists. A just unstoppable flow of money. All they have to do is say to Paulson, if this goes through, yeah, we're in the financial market. We got some bad debt here. And on top of all that, there's already jockeying going on with these sons of bitches on Wall Street about who's going to manage this money. See, the money has got to go to fund managers for the bailout funds. Who's going to manage the bailout funds and how much are they going to get? Now, this is what predatory capitalism is all about. Not all about, but it's one aspect of it, I should say. So already, these filthy ghouls, son of a bitches, are climbing over each other to get to Paulson's bag of money. Goldman Sachs is one of the companies that, with all their hundreds of billions of dollars in non-liquid assets, they're one of the companies that are saying, "Well, you know, we can be one of the fund managers for this. We'll take care of how this is distributed for a fee." Burn it. Just burn it to the ground. What is the point? I know what the propaganda point is. Oh, well, if we don't save these agencies, if we don't save these companies, then everything's going to die and burn. And blah, blah, blah. Really? So the choice here, it sounds to me, is let the these fakey, fraudulent, predatory institutions on Wall Street burn, or let the American economy, all the rest of us burn. Get now a lot of people say, well, no, Malloy, the two are connected. Oh, the hell they are. You know what I say? I say let Wall Street burn. Burn it down. Just burn it to the ground. To the NSA listening to the program, I'm speaking metaphorically, of course, you sons of bitches. But let it burn. Well, I mean, if we can't bail out somebody who's upside down in their mortgage payment because they were told, oh, here's a 5.5% mortgage, and in 5 years it's going to reset. You know, whatever the market is, it probably won't be more than 7 or 8%. This way you can get a house. Oh, okay. Because we all want to own a home, right? I don't know. No money for that family. Well, why don't you call Countrywide and try to reset your money? Well, Countrywide doesn't exist anymore. They got sucked up by Bank America. Oh, well, who do I call? Who knows? Your mortgage? Your mortgage was cut into 1,700 pieces, each piece bundled with some other crappy-ass pieces and sold to Saudi investors. Nobody owns your mortgage because everybody owns your mortgage. The rich people do anyway. Let it burn. Let it collapse. Are we kidding? As Krugman said, cash for trash. That's what they're saying. They're saying we raped the system, metaphorically speaking. No offense to people who have to deal with real rape victims, please. We raped the system. We brutalized the system. We bloodied it. We beat it to death. We milked it for every goddamn dime plus we could get out of it. And oops, now we're holding all this bad paper. Help! Help! Somebody help us! No, don't pay any attention to that little homeowner over there. Come and help me. I only need $300 billion. I only need $85 billion. I only need $164 billion. Help me. Bastards. From Prairie 2, Mike, Wall Street slumped again today on the realization that they aren't really getting bailed out by this trillion-dollar giveaway. Investors are moving into oil and gold, sending them sharply higher. When asked to help bail out the banks, Japan and Europe took a pass. Paulson insists that large foreign investors like the Saudis won't be bailed out, even though it appears that is exactly what he intends to do. He has included in the proposed law that there will be no oversight of his actions and that he will be exempt from prosecution. Prosecution for crimes like what? Lying to Congress? Hedge funds are being hit hard by the curbs on short selling bank stocks, so fund managers are offering everything they can think of to entice their clients to stay on board. But as the losses start to pile up from their credit derivative trading, hedge funds will start to show huge declines. Hedge fund operations are heavily leveraged. Investment banks were operating at a leverage limit set by the SEC under Bush, with a ratio of 40 to 1, that means 2.5 cents per dollar. That's how they could all collapse overnight. The hedge funds aren't as regulated. The only thing staving off wholesale panic is that you can only leave a hedge fund quarterly, so it would take some time for the rats to swim away from that ship. Remember, you have to have at least $1 million in the bank to invest in hedge funds. A lot of Republicans are in for a shock when they get their statements. Meanwhile, members of the Bush crime family are going on television and telling people to stay in the market or even buy more. Don't panic. Stay calm. Stand on the deck and listen to the band while the fat cats climb into the last lifeboat and row away.
Look out, here comes the pastor. like earning capital. I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it.
Oh, my God. All right, 21 past the hour. We're way behind. I haven't even scratched the surface here, and I want to get your phone calls. Just let me do three more emails here because you people send in such incredibly well-done emails. Oh, by the way, prosecutegeorgebush.com. I don't know if you've been there. Bob tells me that he has collected enough now for 410 books are on their way to prosecutors around the country. There's 2,700 prosecutors, I think. That's just since Wednesday evening. So go to prosecutegeorgebush.com and take a look. And this has to do with Bob Alexander's efforts with getting out Bugliosi's book, Prosecuting George Bush for Murder. That's not the title. What the hell is the title, Kathy? The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. But Bob Alexander of superbeans.com is doing this. And so just check it out. I got an email from him earlier today. And it was about 7:30 Eastern Time this evening, so God only knows what it's up to now. But he collected enough money and has packaged up and mailed out 410 books. Now that's astonishing to me. I know Bob is sending an answer to the people who have contributed the $15 or whatever it is that he's looking for. But that's the price of the book and mailing and packaging, and Bob and his wife and a friend are doing this all free. Obviously, this is what liberals do. We always do it for free, right? ProsecuteGeorgeBush.com. Just go there and take a look, and you decide what to do once you've been there, okay? All right, back to this is from Sarah in Brevard, North Carolina. She writes, Mike, these are numbers from Democratic Underground. They might be helpful to our understanding of some of this mess. A poster at Democratic Underground Far Center put this up. In the economy, people buy and sell goods and services, including making capital improvements. The economy is necessary for day-to-day living. In the financial system, people make side bets on the economy. It is basically a casino filled with gamblers. The size of the economy is about $45 trillion a year for the world gross domestic product. The size of the financial system is above $200 trillion, principally in derivatives and similar unregulated contracts. Each day, upwards of $5 trillion in payments are made to settle trades. In other words, the daily handle in the casino. From Sarah and Brevard. That's interesting. The size of the economy is about $45 trillion. The size of the financial system is above $200 trillion. So there is, you know, when Henry Paulson or any of these rat bastards talk about $700 billion to throw into the casino for bad debts, for gambler's chips, that's all we're doing here. We're picking up gambler's markers. That's all we're doing. You'll notice that Paulson has said nothing about restrictions, nothing about new laws, nothing about making some of this goddamn stuff illegal, which it should be, shouldn't it?
Oh, now, Mike, you're talking about communism if you talk about that.
Oh, go screw yourself. Communism. So here we are. Now, interesting, Prairie 2 also wrote tonight, hey, Mike, when prosecuted, the meatpacking workers in Iowa, you know, they were prosecuted with trumped-up ID theft charges. You remember all those people, 350 people busted at the kosher meat plant out in Iowa? People observing it firsthand, the court proceedings, said that the courts, the prosecutors, seem to be practicing for a change in government policy. They, the courts, the prosecutors, presented a mere fig leaf of justice, giving defense lawyers scripts to use in court, things that they could and couldn't say. Stalin would blush. The Bush crime family bulk processed defendants 15 at a time, giving them only a few minutes to state their case in court. They also trumped up so-called terrorism charges against protesters at the Republican National Convention. Keep in mind, the National Socialists started rounding up political opponents, calling them terrorists. Look for the Iowa justice model to process political opponents en masse and truck them off to the Kellogg Brown and Root camps that they have already built. This is pretty bleak stuff. You know, the best way to work off your tension other than exercise, whatever kind of exercise you do, is just keep doing your target practice.
With no
Brian's future, it's Mike Malloy.
It's 26 before the hour. All right, here's the last one. This is from Bob. Hey Mike. Well, the subject line is, you're right, no bailout. Hey, Mike, why not let it tip over? 35 years ago, I was hitchhiking through the Midwest and thought about the Great Depression. I hiked through miles and miles of countryside, farms, small towns, businesses. I wondered about the Great Depression. All the money went away, but look what was left behind. Miles and miles of countryside, farms, small towns, and businesses. It was still here. Just the money went away. The stuff was still here. I was in my 20s, naive, didn't know much about anything, but I'm a lot older now. So what if the money goes away? Jail the thieves and reboot. The stuff's still here. Yeah, that's true. Phone calls. Hollis is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Hollis. Hey, Hollis.
Hello.
Hey, Hollis, how are you?
Good. I think you got the beginning of a rallying cry for taxpayers in Krugman's phrase, no more cash for trash.
Yeah, I can go along with that. How do we do that?
How do we do that?
Yeah.
Well, we can use some extreme, or what do you call it, Naomic disaster capitalism?
Oh, yeah.
How about some disaster government and a tax on wealth of these Wall Street queens?
A tax on wealth.
You betcha. They're the ones that profited. Let them pay for it.
Well, okay, but wouldn't it be better to destroy the casinos that they're gambling in? It does nothing for the economy. These hedge funds and all this other crap, I can't even think of all the terms, but the instruments that are being used right now do nothing for the economy. They don't make anything. They don't produce anything. They don't help the infrastructure. They don't provide anything for anybody except the people who are playing in the casino. What I say is, rather than a tax on their earnings, destroy forever the ability to make that money, because that's not real money. That's money that they're stealing from the entire world, but they're stealing it mainly from Americans. Just remember Enron. Enron was the model. Now that the entire financial industry has been Enronized. No, don't tax them. Destroy them. Blow them up. Burn them down. take away from them the matches that they're using to set these fires that are burning our economy to the ground.
That sounds like a resurrection of anarchism, creative destruction.
No, I'm talking about just the opposite. Legislate them out of existence. During the Clinton years, they were able to legislate poor people out of existence by just passing laws that said, well, no more poor people, no more aid to families with dependent children, yada, yada, yada. So poor people got legislated out of existence. And it was done. And Clinton took credit for it. And everybody said, oh, what a good a leader he was. He legislated poor people out of existence. Okay, legislate these rat bastards out of existence. No tax on their income. Take away the matches. Take away what they have been doing. End it. End it. Don't mend it. End it.
Besides, you're never going to get an administration in power that's going to install any corporate taxes. They haven't done it in 50 years. They're not going to do it now. As soon as they do it, all the neocons start pointing fingers and saying, protectionism, you're not letting the economy, you're not letting the free markets rule.
But not only that, anytime they've tried to do it, whoever writes these filthy, putrid laws leave enough loopholes for these slimy corporations to avoid paying anything to anybody, anytime, anywhere. So I think that American corporations ought to be taxed on basically the same level as individuals. You know, all this whiny-ass crap that you hear from right-wingers, well, they create the jobs. What jobs, you lying sons of bitches? What jobs are you talking about? What jobs have been created except by the fast food industry, the service industry, the retail industry? What jobs have been created? None. They're all gone. Tax the corporations. Tax them at a reasonable level. 35% of profits. 40% of profits. If they can't exist on the other 60%, then screw you. Get out of town. Get out of business. Get out of my sight, you predatory bastards. And as far as all this crap on Wall Street, this casino, destroy it. Burn it to the ground. End it.
Well, you got to bail out the corporations
no,
before
we, don't.
We can tax them. We got to buy them before we can tax them.
Right, right. George is calling from Salem, Oregon, listening on the Internet. George?
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Oh, Mike, it's great to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, you know what we're dealing with here is the bastard child of deregulation.
Oh, yeah.
Spawned by, you know, St. Ronald Reagan, Phil Graham, McCain, and, you know, just a host of other people.
That was the whole idea of deregulation.
Oh, yeah.
Remove the cop from the corner so that the thugs can come in and rob all the little businesses, rob them blind.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with you. You know, let the bastards swirl down the toilet with the garbage that they created. Don't let them pull off the biggest heist in human history.
Yeah, I hear that.
And, you know, we could take $1 trillion that we don't have, unfortunately. And how much infrastructure could we build with that?
Oh, my God.
And it would create jobs, it would create wealth, and it would all come back to us.
That's right.
And not to the thieves on Wall Street.
That is so right.
And, you know, this is kind of an aside, but you ever heard of a movie called Shadow on the Land?
I haven't.
It was made in 1967. I think it was Richard Serafian. And it was about a fascist takeover of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't find a copy of it now.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
maybe it was too close to being real.
It's way too close to the truth. And, you know, you mentioned that article about, the Army Times.
Yeah.
And in the movie, they had a group that they called the Bully Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they were Army troops that were sent out to beat up and jail protesters.
Right. Well.
And, you know, the whole thing just kind of scares the hell out of me.
I hear you, George. And if people are not scared, it's because they're unconscious or alcoholic or on drugs or crazy. Thanks, George. Appreciate you checking in. Bail out the casino players. Oh, that makes sense, doesn't it? Huh? And the way it's being sold is the same way the invasion and occupation of Iraq was sold. Same thing. Exactly. These filthy pigs. So what are you going to do, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer? What are you going to do, Malloy? Oh, I guess I will send an email to my member of Congress. And what if that doesn't work? Well, I'll just wait and see what my fellow citizens do. But I have a feeling, I have a very strange feeling in the pit of my stomach that there's going to be something intense, let me put it that way, is going to happen. Sean is calling from Vancouver, Washington, listening on KPOJ. Hey, Sean.
Greetings, fellow citizens of the United States of Goldman Sachs. Mike, we need to get El Duce Paulson a little uniform with some big shiny epaulets on the shoulders.
He'd love it. He'd love it.
Mike, it's so important that those of us on the left right now put some pressure on Obama. I'm thinking of Naomi Klein's September 30 article in The Nation titled Obama's Chicago Boys, in which Naomi really encourages us to, you know, try and get Obama to dump these guys. He's got Austin Goolsbee, Jason Furman, Robert Rubin.
All neoliberals.
Yeah.
Every one of them, right.
Yeah. And we just have to pressure him to dump those guys and bring on Krugman, bring on all these great liberals, you know, that we all know and love. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Mike, also, you know, when I'm looking at the McCain campaign, I'm thinking of that McCarthy era statement where the guy says at the hearing, "Have you no shame, sir?"
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to pin Obama with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were supposed to be the free market alternative to public housing. And mm-hmm. if you're not going to have public housing and you're not going to have good, steady, well-paying union jobs that people can pay a 30-year mortgage, well, then where else are they supposed to go?
That's right.
So, yeah. You know, it's just the whole thing is just ridiculous.
I hear you. And I don't understand why, Sean, Obama. Well, in a way, I do. Obama, we've said this many times. He's not a liberal. He's not a progressive. He is closer to Bill Clinton's policies than Hillary Clinton was. Call him Republican light if you want to be smarmy about it. Call him a centrist if you want to be more politically astute. But he's not a progressive. He's not a liberal. And why should he surround himself with progressives or liberals? But I do agree with you. Obama may realize that the business as usual crap from Democrats is over. Either Democrats seize their left-wing origins. Either Democrats wake up and do what needs to be done. Take away from private hands certain key industries that need to be in the hands of responsible government. I've mentioned the three that I think. Healthcare, transportation, and what was the third one, Kathy? Healthcare, transportation, and... oh, God, I can't remember my own arguments. That's what Obama needs to do. You think he's going to do it? Ten before the hour, it was energy, the third industry that I believe should be nationalized. Healthcare, transportation, and energy. Start with those. If we don't wind up with a mixed economy in the sense of some socialism, some heavily regulated capitalism, then we are just setting ourselves up, as Paul Krugman said today, for another repeat.
Riddle me this, Batman. How come we can buy corporations, but we can't socialize our government so that we can organize things better for every American. What is that? If we're not socializing these corporations, what are we doing if we're not putting them under the government umbrella and letting government make decisions for corporations? What the hell is that if it's not socialism?
It's national socialism. There's a distinction. Some people say it's a distinction without a difference, but there is a difference. National socialism, fascism, Nazism.
That's, well, if it was good enough for our founding fathers.
Thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, the technical side of the program, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Catherine Bay, and moi, the non-technical side of the program. I didn't have time tonight to mention the Nova M founding member thingy that I'm asking you to do. Go to NovaMradio.com and get the information on how to become a founding member of Nova M if you are seriously interested in keeping us on the air. Not that I don't mean to imply that we're in any kind of financial crisis, because we're not. But dare I use the word, it's an insurance policy, and it's not through AIG, it's through you. So if you are so inclined, go to NovaMradio.com and check out becoming a founding member. There are podcasts. There are ways to hear the programs, both Randy's and mine, with zero interruptions. And if you are already a member, consider inviting someone else with a gift subscription to NovaMradio.com. One of your favorite progressive friends who needs a liberal download. Can I say that? That sounds almost obscene. And my uncensored mailbag, which is pretty weird. Pretty weird indeed. So check us out. And if you're so inclined, please become a member. It's $100 a year or $10 a month. Your choice. Flo is calling from Sunrise, Florida, listening on WINZ. Hey, Flo.
Hi, Mike. It's almost time to call it a day or a night, right?
It is indeed.
This whole thing has got me all upset. So I tuned into you just to get some satisfaction out of hearing these people called names. I call them a pile of pigs. They're a pile of pigs because Harvey Pitt, I don't know who, he's the former SEC chairman.
Yeah.
He did a little piece on CBS News last week, and he said that Cox,
the former congressman,
he was doing an outstanding job, he said. And this Harvey Pitt, this slime bag, that's where my husband lost his retirement.
Oh,
because
God.
When Enron went down, he resigned.
Yeah.
So then they got Donaldson, who was trying to bring some fines and try to penalize these people. Bush got rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he must have put Cox in. But it's the same thing, Mike, over and over. We have to keep paying for the same mistakes. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, and you know, and I know you know this, that we're not talking here, Flo, about mistakes. We're talking about deliberate actions on the part of people who have no respect for you or for me or for the 300 million of us out here who are just trying to get through this life and make it onto the next. They have no respect at all. They see the whole journey of life as nothing but some kind of a filthy casino where they can get all the money and all the points and then go buy all the things. And I hate them with a passion, flow that I don't have the language to describe it. But it is evil personified. It's evil made human. The people who are doing this. I say no quarter for them. They ought to be identified. It ought to be against the law to teach the kinds of courses in the universities that produce these little vampires, these 20 somethings who get out and immediately go to work for hedge funds and start manipulating the global economy in a way that hurts everybody except them and their companies.
I want them to pay for what they've done. And you're right, it is deliberate, because if Harvey Pitt can say that Cox is doing an outstanding job, it sounds to me like that's what they set out to do, to destroy us.
Well, there you go. And I believe that. I'm not old enough to directly remember the Depression or anything after the Depression. you know, my consciousness starts in the boomer generation, the, you know, the great recovery and go-go this and you know. But from what I've heard from my mom and the older generation, and what I just read from Bob Alexander, the Great Depression didn't destroy anything except the phony monetary systems that everybody tried to make real. You can't click your heels together with your, you know, ruby red slippers and make things real that are not real. None of us can do it. The monsters on Wall Street who have been doing this for, it seems like forever. Jefferson warned against this. Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Dwight Eisenhower. It seems like, you know, Jesus, God, what does it take for people to realize that we can't keep going with this? Flo, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Some of this stuff just needs to be outlawed. That's all. Just, you know, murder is outlawed. Robbery is outlawed. Rape is outlawed. Why not this? I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seeker. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.